We have a guest. Ellen, would you like to introduce our guest?
I will, but I hope I don't fracture his name. This is Kambiz Hosravi.
Very good.
And welcome to Hudson and to the radio station.
Thank you very much.
And you're here because
Whoa.
You have a film that's debuting here for us this Saturday night.
Correct.
And you're going to be there?
I'm going to be there to receive the tomatoes that are going to be thrown at me.
Oh, we say tomato.
Okay.
Just kidding. But either way, they'll hit the spot.
Okay. I hope not.
Why do you think you'll receive tomatoes?
Oh, I'm just being cute, you know.
Okay. I think you should let us decide that.
Okay.
Kambiz.
Yes.
Kambiz. You've made a movie, and it's an autobiographical movie about Iran.
Iran.
And apparently, as we haven't been able to see it since it's coming Saturday, but would you like to summarize it briefly?
Yes. I've had a pretty unique life. I mean, I don't want to brag about it, but
go ahead.
It was unique. So in 2011, I was going to accompany my wife to go to Florida to see her ailing mother.
Were you living at the time?
In Woodstock.
In Woodstock.
Yes. Have you heard of it?
I have. Well, I know that's where you live now. But
I avoid the place like the plague.
I didn't know if you were outside the country or in.
No. Actually, I was born here, but that's that's in the story.
Okay.
But to get back to the point, 2011, and I noticed that my driver's license, my name was misspelled. Therefore, it didn't match my airline ticket.
Uh-oh.
So that obviously got me very paranoid, and having a Middle Eastern name, I thought, you know, worst case scenario, I end up in some rendition camp.
Mm-hmm.
So I checked my name on Google, and to my surprise, my father's name came up, and 5 or 6 different books were written on him. And on further investigation, I found out things that I did not know about him.
If
I tell you,
I won't go to the movie.
Well, not that I would have to kill you. but
so he worked for the Shah's agents.
Reza Shah.
Yeah, Reza. Yes. Oh yeah, of course.
The father of the Shah.
Oh, the father.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So my question to you would be, turning this around, what?
Wait a second. It's our show. We ask the questions. No.
If I asked you the father that you know, all of a sudden you find out he's not the man that you thought he was, what would be your instant reaction?
Well, I actually had an experience like that. Of course, it wasn't world news event, but
okay.
I had a disillusionment with my father at one point. It was very, very disappointing.
Uh-huh. Well, because of the facts you found out? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Maybe we can make
it. I mean, it's not like yours at all.
Well, we all are individuals.
Yes.
That's what makes us so unique.
But, you know, you grow up with an idea of your father, and then you found out he doesn't live up to that idea, and you get very disappointed.
Correct.
If I had found out my father had been, let's say, helping a dictator, it would have been more disillusioning than it was. But anyway.
Well, in this case, what I had been told, because I had a terrible relationship with my father.
Now, had he come here?
That's why I was born in New York City. He was here in 1944. So then the question is, what was he doing here, right in the middle of the war?
Mm-hmm.
So all of these things come up in the film. Now, then I thought, this is the movie I have to make, because in 1953, when I was in Tehran as a 9-year-old, all of a sudden I heard all this commotion outside my aunt's house. So I go out, outside, and there's riots.
That's the year that Mossadegh was overthrown, right?
Correct. The 1953 coup. So I saw it, in fact, happen before me. So these are all of these scenes that will be part and parcel.
And for those who don't know, Mossadegh was?
was the first democratically elected prime minister of Iran. The only mistake he made...
Sorry about that.
We don't make any mistakes. The only mistake he made was to nationalize the oil.
Right.
So that was his sin. And you don't do that. So what the viewers will find out, everything that they might want to know now about Iran, because obviously Iran is, let's say, to put it in the mildest sense, very misunderstood. Mm-hmm. Iran does not have a monopoly on evil or good. We are like anybody else.
So you were at 9, you were there when the coup happened.
Correct.
How much longer were you in?
A year later, I was shipped off to Germany. So I had a very fractious relationship with my father. And so...
He stayed.
He stayed. And it took all till 2011... is when I found out who he really was. So that gave me the impetus this mm-hmm. film had to be made.
Now, is there any archival footage of any kind that's related?
Oh, yes.
Of
oh,
him
yes.
in particular?
Oh, no. Oh. In fact, I only have one photograph of him, which I got from the author of one of the books, and he got it from the State Department. So the State Department were keeping a watch on all... what was going on, mm-hmm. and obviously you'll have to come to the movie to find out
all
of these things.
All will be revealed in the movie.
Exactly.
Have you shown this movie elsewhere yet?
Would you believe this is going to be the world premiere?
Really?
Yes.
That's right, the
yeah.
world
wow,
premiere.
Wow, we should be honored here in Hudson.
Yes. Well, I'm honored as well. At the moment, it's being... sent to festivals. So far, two festivals have accepted it.
Great.
And so since I, Linda and Claudia are very simpatico.
TSL folks, as you all know, we
correct.
Always tell our audience about the movies playing there every week.
Correct. And you won't find movies like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not even in New York City.
How about in Woodstock?
Or even in Woodstock.
All right. See that, Ellen?
I told you
we're better than Woodstock. Ellen used to live near Woodstock.
Uh-huh.
Near Woodstock,
right.
Not Woodstock. In
but
Woodstock.
She left. She realized uh-huh. it was not happening. Hudson's a much hipper place.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Just an old bunch of hippies.
Well, they
there.
Still think it's the 60s there, don't they?
if they can remember it.
So,
and if they do.
So let's talk a little about your career as a filmmaker. Have you always been a filmmaker?
Well, since I'm 72, I've done other things.
What did you say? You're 72?
I am 72, yes.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. Do you need to see my driver's
license? No, you're not.
Your driver's license? Is it
Which
really
is,
your driver's
now
license?
Now it's correctly spelled.
Okay, so have you been a filmmaker for most of your life?
No, I was a painter and an architect.
Yeah.
And in 1980... No, 79. I made my first film. I loved movies. So I just got a camera and as Nike says, just do
documentaries.
It. Yeah.
What kind of stuff have you done?
Let's see. I just 2-3 years ago did one on the history of Woodstock. Woodstock in Search of Utopia. They're still looking.
Yes.
And before that, I did, probably the ones, one of them is in the permanent collection of MoMA, the mm-hmm. Modern Museum, which is on Howard Koch, who wrote Casablanca,
yep.
co-wrote Casablanca.
Hmm.
I did one on Chinua Achebe, the Nigerian writer who taught at
Things
Bard.
Fall Apart.
Correct. Very good.
I love that novel.
Yes, it's a fabulous film. I'm sorry.
No.
My head is.
Yeah.
let's see.
Would you say this is your most personal of your documentaries?
Oh, yes. And actually, I'm glad you brought this up. Even though it is about myself, me, it's not. Because I'm just using myself as a persona within the film. Obviously, it walks like a duck, it looks like a duck, et cetera, et cetera. It sounds like a duck, it must be a duck. So it's made.
Explain for my young friend here, Jake, what that word persona means. He might not get
persona means what you, when you go out, you exude that to the outside. This is the way you want, in most cases, to be seen as. You know, in your clothes, in the manner, in the way you speak, et cetera, et cetera.
In your classy haircut.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Well, Ellen's persona, for example, is a meek, mild, sweet woman. But I know the real Ellen. That's the funny part.
Well,
that's her persona.
You got me in a corner here.
My persona is a jackass, and I live up to it very well on this.
Well, so far, for what I gathered, is you're very knowledgeable.
Yeah, in my own head, yeah.
I mean, from our interaction.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Somebody's got to know something around here.
Right. True on. Enough, yes. Once in a while, I know something. But.
So have you gone back to Iran in recent years?
Last time, first I left when I was 10, and then I went back in 1960. So it's been a while. Wow. Now, what was interesting, one of the festivals that accepted me is in Iran. And I had a 1.5-hour Skype interview with them. And they basically would like me to come back.
Wow. To show the movie.
And to, show the movie.
They've seen it.
They've seen it, yeah. Otherwise, they, you know, select it. And to possibly make a part two.
Wow.
Yeah.
So obviously it coincides with what their view of the past and the whole coup and the subsequent history. And I mean, it's not propaganda, obviously, but it's still sort of in accord with what the current regime believes there about the past.
That's a very complicated. Do you have an hour to go through all that? Actually, just to show you the cultural difference. I mean, I thought I would be pretty hip to it, right? One of the questions was, did you find it dangerous to make this film in the U.S.? And I said, in what way? You know.
Right, they presume things operate here the way they do there.
To some extent.
Well, did you have any encounters with the security state?
no, but I'm sure, as I love to say, obviously I assume since probably around here they can't find anybody else.
Well,
NSA is listening.
Right.
Are you listening?
But did you request documents about your father from the US government?
No.
Presumably there are some, though, right?
But they are all in the books where
it's already been.
And in fact, this is the point, that all of these facts are based on U.S. State Department documents. And another irony is that Iranian history during Reza Shah was written by the U.S. State Department, because in Iran it was totally censored. So all of the facts that that this author found out about, he found it in Washington in the archives.
I was always intrigued by the son's life, and there was a book by Richard Kaczynski. He's a non-fictional Polish writer. It's called Shah of Shahs. Do you know that book?
No.
Very interesting. It's about the last years of the Shah. And you know how oblivious he was to really most of the things that went on in his country. And the detail that always stuck out for me is he kept a bunch of Valium in his pocket, broken up, and he would just eat little chips of Valium all day long. He was that anxious all the time.
Well, there are so many different things that obviously you'll see in the film, which I can't go through because we don't have the time, and I'd like you to come and see it for yourself.
Yeah.
Did you have any problem finding the footage or getting permission to use the footage?
The footage were mostly BBC newsreels of what was going on from the point of view of the British, you see.
So if you went and did part two in Iran, would there be people alive who could speak to it? directly?
Well, the thing I would love to do, which I told this this man, is to go there and revisit the locations for one, and then find out more about my father than that.
Have you seen the two documentaries about Indonesia?
Yes.
I forget the titles, but you
Killing
know.
Killing Field.
No, Killing. Both by the same guy.
Yes, Oppenheimer.
And, yeah, those two.
Yes.
And it's about, you know, going back. Well, in one case, the second one is about a younger man whose father or brother, I forget.
Was a victim.
Was a victim of the slaughter.
Correct.
And he did a sort of similar thing. He went back and actually confronted those who participated in the slaughter. And it's the most chilling documentary one could see, because they had really no regret, and they vividly reenacted
it's
slaughtering with machetes and such.
Humans are very complex, and again, if you have an hour, we can go into all of the complexities, but just take my word for it, they are complex. Actually, the other I'm trying to sort of find out the other things that might be of interest that I obviously can't go through. Mm-hmm. But
so the State Department hasn't reached in any way. Have you tried to get official comments from the U.S. government about?
Oh, this is another interesting point, since it deals with the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
The interviewer from Iran asked me, how come you didn't interview anybody from the CIA? So I said, well, it took them 60 years to admit that they did it, so I don't think now, first of all, I'd be able to find anybody to want to come on camera or whatever. But as I was going to say before, I don't know whether the NSA is listening to my phone calls or anything, but I'm very flattered because finally somebody is listening to me. You see, so.
Yeah, but you know the sad thing is? They're listening to millions and millions of others.
Oh, I thought so, I was so unique.
So unless you say the right words, you're not going to get any attention.
Hopefully they send somebody to see the film.
What's your favorite accounts of the whole period in Iranian history? William Shawcross, someone like that?
Well, the people I interviewed, Stephen Kinzer.
Oh, yeah, sure. From the Times. Used
to
be at the Times.
Yes, yeah. He wrote a very famous book called The Coup, All the Shah's Men. So he gave me an extensive background information into it. Avran Abrahamian, who wrote History of Iran. He teaches at Baruch College in Manhattan. Also, Mohammed Marjd, who was one of the authors who luckily I was able to track down, and he was the one who had all of this information. And so it's
well documented.
Yeah, and it's not a documentary. I'm using my personal history, memoir, recollections, et cetera, to get people into the story, into the history of what this country is about, and to hopefully have a better understanding. And then when you have a better understanding, then you can make a better choice, I think.
Mm.
One hopes.
So
the film is going to be shown at TSL on Saturday night, right?
Correct, at 6:15.
6:15.
Yes, and please go online or call in or reserve tickets, because it might be sold out.
That's right. It's a really interesting film. I think it will draw a lot of people.
You'll be available for questions afterwards, right? Or no?
Well, if I'm there to have tomatoes thrown at me, I'm sure I'll be there to answer questions.
Yeah. Ellen, is there more you'd like to know?
Well, I was just looking to see if I had a phone number for TSL, and I do. It's 822-8448, or people can go online at timeandspace.org. And again, it's Saturday night at 6:15. I don't, you know, we don't want to learn too much about the film. I think there are secrets in there that we're not talking about yet.
Can I just make one plug?
Sure.
I'd like to thank... No. people should really support Time and Space Limited. It's a treasure here in Hudson. I think they've been here since the 70s. They show movies that you don't see anywhere else. They even are going to show one of my films.
Yeah.
So it just shows, you know.
You don't think that means they're desperate?
No, or you could say, as Groucho said, if they show my films, they can't be much better.
Yeah, right.
You know. But, and I hear that you guys are also having a fund drive.
We just succeeded in reaching our goal.
Oh, excellent.
In an emergency fund drive.
Well,
which doesn't mean you can't, you know, cough up a couple bucks on the way out, buddy.
Well, I put a quarter in the parking lot.
Thank you.
And the machine doesn't work.
Well, you know, the thing is that fundraising never stops.
Never stops.
Of course not. Of course.
Well, that's a good question that we didn't. How did you finance this film? Did you?
Mostly myself.
Mostly yourself.
Yeah, because I do, my main source of income is doing music videos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, instructional, mm-hmm. et cetera. So I have all my cameras, equipment, all of this stuff.
Nice.
And so it does, and since I didn't have to travel, and most of it was done through archival
yeah.
material, and I did want to go back to Iran, but maybe this time I will. Although many people have told me, oh, no, you can't go.
Well, that's interesting because it's like you solve the basic problem that a young documentarian has, and that is having the equipment. Because once you start, you know, it's easy to start filming.
Exactly.
It's all the latter stuff that
exactly.
involves
you have to
money.
Rent
right.
or buy the equipment
yeah.
and the, you know, et cetera, et cetera, yeah. et cetera. Yeah. Yeah.
Does it involve a lot of other people?
Yes. Although I am, you know, have you seen those musicians who have every instrument known to man mm-hmm. strapped to them? So I like to juggle things around and mostly do myself. But obviously there was another cameraman involved, two different audio people, and of course I have to thank my wife, and she was, you know, she was my foundation, and she's even in it, you know. So you'll have people in there who speak American.
Well, we've been speaking with Cambiz Khosravi, right?
Actually, my full name is Cambiz Amir Khosravi.
Khosravi.
Yeah. But I've sometimes when I answer the phone and I say this is Cambiz, they say, oh, okay, Mr. Bees. They think my name is Ken Bees.
Oh, well, as long and as they send the check.
His new right. film, what's the actual title of the film?
Inheritance.
Inheritance will be premiering, that's right, premiering right here in our little city of Hudson.
Premiere.
A world premiere.
Universe.
In the universe, the
yes.
whole universe.
Correct.
Right here in Hudson. At TSL, Saturday night, 6:15, right here on Columbia Street. Ellen will be there. I can see it in her eyes.
And
no?
and let me ask you, why aren't you going to be there?
Oh, I'll be there. If
oh,
I
you
can.
Are going.
You don't understand. My wife is my foundation, too. And what that means is when she's here on the weekends, I do whatever she tells me.
Oh, I see.
So we'll see.
Okay.
But I want to go. I'll do that.
And how about the young
it's
man?
Not gonna, is
well.
It going to have more than one showing?
No, just that.
Why?
This is it. Because of the festival.
Oh,
because
then it...
Well, yeah. Maybe it'll come back another time.
Maybe, like a boomerang.
Well, this is...
You know what a boomerang is?
Yes.
Sure.
Or
that, the second film.
That makes it a little more urgent to get there, so I probably will be there. I didn't
excellent.
Realize it was a one-time show.
Oh, yeah,
show.
Yeah. This is a one-time deal.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Folks, this is a one-time deal that I have to sell to you. And if you don't come, you won't get
yeah,
it.
You won't get it.
Yes.
Bummer.
Yes.
So... Be there Saturday night, 6:15.
And thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in. Yeah,
coming across the bridge to
oh,
see us.
It was a horrendous drive. It really was. I mean,
are you kidding?
I was in traffic.
Really?
Coming here?
Yeah, there were cars in front of me. and cars behind me.
Well, I hope the same sense of humor shows up in the movie.
No, it's all. You see, I studied in England, so
that's what I say.
What can you say?
Yeah. Right. Well, thank you, Cambise.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.
And come back with your second film.
Yeah.
I hope.
Second film. He's made quite a few.
No, I mean the one.
The second Iranian film. Yeah.
That's going to be interesting because, you know, I told people that they told me they have a 4x6 room with bars reserved as soon as I land.
It's a good thing you have a sense of humor about this.
Well, you have to. I mean, in this time
that
we are living in. Yes.
Do you ever feel that you're profiled here in America?
During 79, I didn't go around telling everybody that I was Iranian origin.
Yeah.
Most people think I'm Italian or Spanish or from Long Island.
You mean Long Island?
Long Island. Actually, I'm originally from Brooklyn, but it's pretty good persona, you see?
Well, that's great. Well, thanks for coming in. Jake, you want to give us some going away music here so we can make a little transition?
Absolutely.
As we say goodbye to Mr. Khosravi.